Right, when I was coming up, when I was growing up,
You could be a daddy to everybody else but me. I'm not going to do that right now because I'm going to talk about that too. But y'all bringing up some stuff. Y'all bringing up some ish. Go ahead on. Leave me alone. Go ahead on. What's up, everybody? I'm Matthew.
Hey, everybody. I'm Nalisha.
And welcome to the Glass House Podcast. We're so excited that you are joining us today for another episode, another conversation, rather, of transparency, another conversation of dialogue that I think hopefully you can find a possible way to connect with. But before we get started, do us a favor really quickly. We want you to send this to someone who you possibly think can benefit from this episode. And then along the way, if you are enjoying this episode or whatever we're talking about, then we encourage you to send this to someone and or to share it and or leave a review or comment about the podcast. Man, welcome to another episode. I'm really excited about this conversation. I think it's one that a lot of people can resonate with all over the world. And I think it's a not universal problem, but it is an issue that people experience universally. So today we're going to talk about daddy issues, man. Yep, it just got better, just like that right there. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and send it to your home girl. I know, I'm about to talk about her daddy and I'm about to talk about mine. We get ready to talk about daddy issues, all right? This is, I think, a provocative conversation in a way in which I think it calls for criticality in so many different regards because people can connect with it, right? I think daddy issues are adult challenges that can result from one or two likely past experiences. The truth is either we grow up, we have absent fathers, or we have abnormal or poor relationships with the fathers who are physically present in our lives. Or they're not present at all. And oftentimes we reserve the word daddy issues for women who suffer from that trauma. And as a result, we see it in signs in their relationships. Oh, a girl, you know, she gets mad because she catch you cheating. She got daddy issues. No, you just be lying, okay? You know, or like, I mean, we try to, and I think like that is so sexist that we only reserve that term for women who have problem with functionalities of men. And so we want to talk about that today. We want to talk about that conversation of daddy issues. More than 50% of Black homes are fatherless. That's a conversation to be had because it's not just what we suffer or what we go through or experience from absent fathers. Some of you've got stories from present fathers. That were present physically, but not present psychologically. So let's get into it, man. The first thing I think I want to lift up really quickly is I want to ask both Keenan and Alicia, like, what are your current relationships like with your father? Now, we're gonna get into it, but I just want to know the current relationship, and then we're going to start digging into the backstory, all right? Because this podcast, everybody like a good story. So let's let Keenan go first, and then Alicia, you get into it. Current relationship with your father. Let me hear it.
Cool. All right. So my current relationship with my father is better than it has ever been before. I'll say that. I'll start there. Growing up, I knew who my father was, knew where he lived, knew who, you know, was able to see him from time to time. But he wasn't as present as we would wish him to be, right? Without going into super details just yet. But he wasn't as present as I would have wished for him to be and as my mom wished him to be. But my dad also had other kids as well. So, or has other kids as well. But now that I've gotten a little older, I've made the decision to reach out to my father and have the relationship that I want to have with him, right? We're not buddy-buddy. We're not the best of friends. But I do know that I can call him if I ever need advice on a certain thing, right? And the crazy thing is now me and my father's relationship is more so of a slick mentorship thing on the things that I know he's good at, right? It's not even, I wouldn't even call it a, I don't know, because I don't know what a father and son relationship really looks like, you know? But for me right now, I know he's a businessman. I know he's had businesses. He has successful businesses. I know he does really well with fixing credit and doing things like that or whatever. So anytime I have a question about things like that, I know I can give him a call, right? And I think vice versa, he gives me a call about things according to spirituality or growing in his faith or, you know, with me being a preacher, you know, it's like, oh, well, I can call my son and at least have this conversation with him. But the real intricate father and son conversations, we've never had, right? So that's what me and my daddy is now. But we look just alike. So it's kind of hard not to have a relationship with a man you know is out there that you look just like him. It's like, God, oh. So that's where we at.
Now, Alicia, let's go get into it.
All right. So me personally, the relationship I have with my dad is not the best either. Me and my dad now, the relationship that we have, you know, call and check on one another once a blue moon. But, you know, we don't talk every day. We don't have conversations every day. When we do have those conversations, it's more so of, you know, how you doing? How you feeling? Do you need anything? Then that's kind of the topic of the conversation, unless something like goes on with maybe my car or something like that. So before, get a little background story. When I was little, I was beyond attached to my dad. Like me and my dad were, whenever I was around my dad, I didn't want to talk to nobody. I just wanted my daddy. I didn't want to talk to nobody. I was a daddy's girl. I just wanted to like spend time with him. And as I got older, the relationship just got tarnished and damaged. I wouldn't say that I love my dad dearly, but the relationship is just, I don't think he really knew fully, like he didn't have the greatest example on how to be a father. And I think a lot of times when it comes to males and having daughters, they don't really know how to take it. They don't know how to approach having a daughter. They don't always say the right things. They don't always do the right things. But, you know, we love them. It's just we love them from a distance a lot of times. So.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Because what you just said is a lot of times fathers don't have examples of good fathers or maybe fathers at all, especially in the Black community. For my dad, I started to realize as I started to get older and become like a teenager and things like that, I had one conversation with my dad trying to figure out, okay, who is your daddy? Right? Like, because I had never really even met my own biological grandfather on his side, right? So I would ask, like, well, who is your dad? Who raised you? And then finding out that my dad was raised by a guy who married his mother, but he never knew his actual real father, right? So my dad never actually knew his real father, but he had the opportunity of being raised by a guy who married his mom or whatever, and they were together for a couple years. So he took on that responsibility of trying to raise this son. And my dad has a brother, so it's two boys at this time or whatever, and they, you know, he's helping raising them. So I had we're gonna get into it, y'all. So I had an issue with my father because I have an older sister and I have two younger sisters, which comes from my dad's marriage. Now, my older sister, whom my dad had, of course, a couple of years before me, she has brothers. She has brothers that does not come from my father. But my father felt like because a man stepped up for him in that stepfather role, he stepped up for my sister's brothers who weren't his, right? So every time when I was growing up,
he could be a daddy to everybody else but me. I'm not going to do that right now because I'm going to talk about that too. But y'all bringing up some stuff. Y'all bringing up some ish. Go ahead on. Leave me alone. Go ahead on.
And we're not going to stay here. And I rejoice in my story now, thank God. But growing up, it was, okay, I'm going over to my dad's house, but I'm going to see my dad, my older sister, my two younger sisters, and then there's two other boys here that get shoes and clothes and this and that. And I'm like, well, damn, I'm the biological son. You know, so that took a lot. That was a lot on me as a teenager, as growing up from like my tween years to becoming a teenager of, well, I know who you are, but even when I'm with you, I have to share my time with you that I don't have a lot of. I have to share this time with you and other people who I've accepted as family, but now I realize they're not your biological kids. And you, it seems like to me, you pay more attention to them than you even do me, right? So, man, but I say all of that to say, when I realized who he was and how he was raised, I was like, oh, I see why he did it, right? And I'm not faulting him for doing that and stepping in and helping someone else out. But I also had to bring it to the attention of my father that, hey, don't forget about me, right? Don't leave me out. Don't forget about me. But in the process, through the process of not seeing my father or not being able to be around him, I also learned that I've learned how to live without you being present, right? And that's a hard thing for us to get over while we are growing up in that situation, because you're trying to figure out how do I figure this thing out? How do I still get through life and go to my friend's house who have both mom and dad there, and it seems like they have a great family or whatever. But when you learn how to live when it's just you and your mom, and I grew up as the only child on my mom's side, so it's just me and my mom. So I learned how to live without you. So when you do come around now, it's like, you like another dude on the street. Like, oh, okay. You know, because I see you for a couple hours, or I see you for a couple minutes, and then I'm back at home with me and my mom again. So, yeah, y'all, it gets real sticky. But I want us to talk more about realizing that most times our fathers don't have even their own example of how to be a father, right? And none of us are fathers yet, or parents just yet, but how do we look at what our parents went through, and how do we try to change that narrative, right? Or how do we try to, one, change that narrative, or two, how do we try to be sympathetic to or empathetic to the fact that they didn't have fathers either?
Can I step in for a second, Keenan? So what I want to say to touch base on,
I feel like Nalisha was like brewing. She was like ready to kind of come back. She's like, let me tell you about him. Go ahead, girl. Do your thing. Show out.
Let me just touch base on what you just said. So growing up, it was a lot of things that I witnessed as a child that, you know, of course we say things all the time as far as a child shouldn't witness. I witnessed, you know, my stepmother, like having her hands put on her and things like that as a child. And it's just certain things that when I was younger and I used to go to my dad's house, you know, we would go there for the summer. We would go there for the weekend. You know, it was cool. But I have a stepsister and I have two stepbrothers and I have a little brother. So we would go there and it's just a difference, right? So my mom's a single mom. So we would literally witness a difference. We would go to we would be here at my mom's house. We know we're going out to eat. My mom taking us places. You know, we just enjoying life, really. Not that we weren't enjoying life over there, because I love spending time with my siblings. But when we went to my dad's house, we were stuck in the house with the siblings. So we're stuck in the house like, okay, it's summertime. We got to figure out what we finna do. We over here looking at each other, about to kill each other, go crazy, fighting and, you know, doing what siblings do. And it's like, where is that time?
Yeah.
The time that we spent with him was on the road, and it wasn't really much talking because my dad's into cars. My dad's into, you know, certain other things that has no interest in me.
Yeah.
And it was times where if I was upset with him about something, or me and him weren't seeing eye to eye, it's like, oh, you know, I'll buy you this, or I'll buy you that, or yes, I'll send you this, or I'll send you that. And as I got older, like, because my mom wanted us to have the best relationship ever. I was closer to my grandfather than I was with my own dad. So it was weird because whenever I used to be around my dad, like I said, I love my dad, no questions asked. And I think because his father never really fully showed him like a bunch of affection, he didn't really know how to do that. Mm-hmm. And as I got older, I just saw for myself, like my dad used to, you know, tell me little lies all the time. And like, it's one moment that stuck in my head. And I don't want to get too in detail, but you know, it was one moment where my dad had to come pick us up for the weekend. And he came, mind you, wherever he was located at, it was like 45 minutes away at the time until he moved and was 3 hours away. So he came to our house, which was 45 minutes away, just to tell us that he couldn't get us for the weekend.
We got
to dig into that because we got to talk about the memories that hurt. Nah, like for real, we got to talk about. Go ahead, finish on Alicia. That was good. Talk about the memories that hurt.
So you drove, like in my head, I'm like, you drove 45 minutes to tell me,
to tell us,
like, you know, as a kid, you know, you think it's just me. I have an older brother, but I'm like, you came here to tell me that you ain't finna get me. Like, and the reason given was like, I think it was because he said they didn't have any food in the house or something at the time. I'm like, my mama make it do what it do with what she have. And it's two of us. It's three of us in total in the house, but two kids. I'm looking like, ain't no way this man just came here and told us that. And every time you come to see us, you got new sneakers on. You got something new on your car. You got, and then it was always, oh, I've been had this.
Yeah.
Oh, this old. Oh, this, like, huh? I was like, ain't no way. And I just kept thinking about that. I don't know why that sticks in my head. It just, You drove a whole 45 minutes to tell me that we can't go with you, like.
But felt like it was okay because you gave me 5 minutes of your time.
Please,
That's just like the wild part of it is like, you know, like I heard both of you guys talking, and all I could think about was so many of us don't really care to even understand the context of why they did what they did. Because we all have lasting memories of when our father didn't show up. But let me give a little grace here. Let me give a little grace, a little bit. Parenting is an experiment that none of us are 100% prepared for. Because all parents raise a different kind of child. And every child needs something else, something different rather. And to kind of just, I guess, add a filler to Nalisha's story, and I'm going to let Keenan tell his story. I remember from my 10th birthday, and now granted, my father was walking down the street. I couldn't tell you that was him or not. I know my father lives in Savannah. I can recall three times in my life where I did see him. The last time I was 24 was the last time I saw my father in person. And that's just because my now wife was with my mom one day and she pointed him out. And then I went back to go meet him. And when I was 10 years old, my mom was at the store. She met my father. She saw my father at the store, told me it was my 10th birthday. He didn't even know it. My mom and my father had me when my dad was married. So his wife made him decide, was he going to keep the marriage or was he just not going to be in my life? And so he kept the marriage. He was in and raised two kids that wasn't his own. And he left me with my mom. It is what it is. My 10th birthday, my mom saw him in the store, told him it was my 10th birthday. He came to the house. I sat in the truck with him. I called him Matthew. We share the same name. He said, no, I'm your daddy. I said, okay, dad, right? He was like, okay, but I'll be back. I'm going to buy you a cake. I sat on that porch until 9 p.m. that night. My dad never came back with that cake. I came home from school the next day. My dad never came back home with that cake, and I sat on the porch. Every time I think of my father, I think about the boy he left on the porch. I think about the day he decided that I wasn't worth a cake. And for young men or young women dealing with that, sometimes it's hard to believe you could be better than the porch if the porch was what you saw and the porch was the pain that you remember. Pain don't go, pain grow. And so when pain is not, I think, talked about like in settings like this, we bury it until we have to talk about it. And so I guess I would ask both of you a question that I know our listeners would want to hear. How you forgive them, man? Because my dad right now, my mom works a security job in Savannah, Georgia. I don't know if she'd be working like that. I know she'd be going, praise God. And my dad lives in a, she works at a senior citizen building. My dad lives in that senior citizen building. And I was just on vacation in Savannah like a week ago. I'm not sure when you can listen to this episode, but I was there a week prior to this episode being recorded. I thought multiple times to go by and talk to him. He has cancer. And I thought, and part of me says, I want to know why you didn't pick me. But another part of me is saying, why I got to come to you? Why can't you come get me? Yeah. Why I got to come and get you for you to talk to me? So I want to ask you both, how you forgive him? Because I ain't lying. I'm still on the porch waiting for the cake.
So listen, I asked my brother the same exact question, because it's, even if you forgive, you can't forget. So it's like, have I really forgiven you? Because I'm still thinking about it. So are you really forgiven, or am I just sitting here thinking like you said, you left me on the porch, man. So what do I have to forgive? But at the same time, we know that's the right thing to do. You know, that's the Christian thing to do. But that hurt sometimes overfills with the forgiveness, and it's hard to forgive them. But you have to just honestly just pray on it, forgive them. You have to just think about, look at where I'm at now. If you weren't in my life, would I be as strong as I am today? Would I be as, you know, accomplished as I am today? Would I have even been the woman or the man that I am today? Because even though, that's why a lot of times too, whenever people ask me certain things about my father, my relationship with my father, I don't use it to like validate my life. When it comes to me, I feel like I'm not who that little girl was, pretty much. Because even though I did have, you know, like we said, quote unquote, daddy issues, I don't use that in my life. I don't use that as like, oh, maybe this is why.
I'm gonna push back real quick because for some woman's listening, Keenan gotta go, but a woman's listening right now, she's probably thinking you said you don't use that. But I don't think that we get to choose when pain shows up. Like you say, you don't use it, but imagine if there's something in your life, a relationship or a friendship that reminds you of that abandonment or selective abandonment. So I don't think sometimes it's not a matter of selection when we decide to use it as an excuse. But what happens, like I'm sure you have, right? Like has there been times where you have been in a relationship or a friendship and it's reminded you of your dad's selective abandonment? Like, where do you place it at? Like, what do you get? I mean, because sometimes I'm going to turn it on. I'm going to turn the pain off. Like, how do you manage that selective abandonment?
It has. But I mean, when I say that, I'm saying like, you know how sometimes people, and this is a true factor. It could be something that, you know, is wrong. And it's a lot of things that I personally feel like I need to go to therapy for. But at the same time, like if
we don't talk about that enough. We don't talk about that enough. No, go ahead,
we
though.
Don't talk about therapy.
Go ahead, though.
Because people think therapy is, you know, like they always say, people think therapy is, oh, I'm crazy, I'm this, I'm that. No, it lets you talk about what you don't talk about. And that's what I'm getting at as far as when I say I don't let it validate me, because if something doesn't go right in my life, I don't say, oh, you know, well, my dad didn't do this, so this is the reason why I'm like this, or I didn't have this growing up, so this is why I do this. I don't say those things. I think of it in my head, like this is probably why. But I think also, how can I move forward without this being the reason that pretty much holds me back?
Right. Yeah. I think for me personally, it took everything in me to say, man, okay, maybe I should just go and tell him that I forgive him just to let it go off of me. Right. Just to let it go off of me, because I realized I kept having the same conversation with myself to say, well, why would I call him? I'm not the parent. Why would I go and check on him? Why would I call him?
That's where I am. That's where I am, honestly. Right.
Why would I call and text him? Why would I do that when I'm not the parent? I'm not the one who laid down. I'm not the one who did this. I'm not the one who made a child and left or wasn't there. Why should I? Why should I? Why should I? And honestly, I got tired of having that conversation with myself because I wasn't having a conversation with my mom. I wasn't having a conversation with him. I wasn't talking to nobody else about it. I was only talking to myself. So it really turned into me beating myself up based upon what somebody else did, right? Based upon what somebody else did. And yes, this may be the person that helped bring me to life on this earth, but I can't control what that person does or does not do, right? So for me, I came up with it in my mind to, hey, I called my dad one day and was like, hey, I just want to talk to you. Let's sit down. Let's go somewhere. And I just want to talk to you and get some things off my chest. Because I felt like if I did not make that decision to do that and at least make the first step to let go of that pain or let go of that hurt, then it was going to bother me for the rest of my life. Right? It was going to bother me for the rest of my life. Every time someone brought up something, especially being in church or being in ministry, every time somebody brought up something about a male figure or a dad or whatever, they're like, oh, well, you don't have your daddy in your life. No, you ain't going to use that to guilt trip me, buddy. Like, no. You know, you don't want people to use that as ammo against you or anything like that or whatever, because people can read through conversations of how you talk, especially when it comes to family or when it comes to different things or whatever, where you're touchy about it. And they'll be able to, you can read if somebody has a parent that's either not here anymore or wasn't present in their life, right? Or if they did not just have some type of adult figure to help them go through things. Thankfully, I had a grandfather that helped me work through some things, and he was there to teach me some stuff and taught me how to tie a tie, how to change a tire, how to do all of that stuff. So I had a male figure in my life, but it still wasn't like having my dad there, right? So I made the decision, let me go sit down with my dad, let me talk to him, and let me just let him know that, hey, bro, I don't know why you chose to do what you did. Really don't care. You know, really don't care to know, because I don't know if that would even help me. You telling me why you chose or why you did not choose me, that's probably just going to irritate me and aggravate me even more. So I'm going to come to you and I'll say, look, I don't know what it was. I don't know why you did what you did, but I'm going to thank you for what you did, right? I'm going to thank you, because if you did not do what you had done, Like Nalisha was saying, I don't know if I would have been the person that I am today. I don't know if I would have had the determination that I have today, or if I don't know if I would have been able to deal with the things that I deal with today if you were there. So your absence taught me how to grow up. Your absence taught me how to deal with some things and how to figure some stuff out without key people being in my life. Right. So when I did sit down with my dad, this was a couple years ago, and I was maybe 20, maybe 19 or 20. And he brought my older sister. He brought my older sister with it. I thought it was just me and him meeting up. But when I get there, I see my older sister, and the first thing comes out of his mouth is, well, I know you wanted to talk to me, but I wanted to bring your sister here too, because I didn't want it to be a bashing session. And I told him, I said, why would I come here after all of these years,
what?
Waste my time to bash you about something, right? I was like, that would have been a waste of my time. I was like, I'm glad I get to see my sister and I get to see you. I don't even know if I will talk to you again after this, right? But I said, I'm not wasting my time to sit here and scold you about why you weren't there and what you didn't do and what. I'm not doing all of that, because I'm making the clear decision in my mind to not let you go, but to let it go. Now, wherever our relationship goes after here is up to you. It was really like a man-to-man conversation or a grown-up-to-grown-up conversation to say, look, if I've learned how to keep relationship with other grown-ups, I know that you being a grown-up, we should be able to keep relationship. So as your son, I'm coming here to tell you, hey, I want relationship with you. I don't mind relationship with you, but the ball is in your court, because I'm tired of feeling like the guilty. right? I'm tired of feeling like the guilty one. So the ball is in your court. And that's what I did. And that's what helped me get over that absence or that period of time.
So Keenan, let me ask you this really quick. I know we got to go, but let me just ask you this small question. So with enduring all that pain and, you know, realizing what kind of person your father is and things of that nature, how do you feel, or what kind of parent do you feel like you want to be since you went through the fact that you had daddy issues?
That's a great question.
I mean, you should have been prepared to answer. You don't only got a child on the way. I mean, unless Nalisha got something to tell us.
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you was making a big gender reveal today. Go ahead, Keenan. Go ahead.
She said, not yet. Not so. No, but that's a great question. And for our listeners, my wife is pregnant and we'll be having our first kid in like a couple months, in like a month or so. So y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for me. And we're having a girl. Come on, y'all hear our audience? That's our audience. But no, we're having a girl. And I ask myself all the time, okay, well, what type of father do I want to be? And honestly, the more I think about it, it's based upon my relationship that I have with my wife, right? I don't know how to be the perfect father. I don't know how to be a father to a woman, right? I don't know how women feel. I don't know the changes that their bodies go through. They can communicate them, but I'll never be able to feel the way that my daughter will actually feel on some moments, some days, and things like that. So with me knowing that I'm not as emotional as a person, or I may be a little sharp tongue sometimes or whatever, for me, figuring out how I want to be as a father has been, how do I want to treat my wife and how do I want my daughter to see that she should be treated in the future? Right. That's really,
if we could just do like the little clap, little snaps, I would snap on that. Well, no, that's powerful, bro. I think what you just said was so liberating for those of us who have possibly have reservations about what we could do wrong because we never saw it done right. I think that answers the question for anyone wondering, just because you don't. And I think the best way to say it is, once you've been exposed to something, you can't be unexposed to it. So right. If you've experienced a genuine love with a woman and how a woman is appreciative to how she's being treated, then you would know how to, I guess, give that love again because you're giving it continuously. Right. And a lot of times as men or as people, we worry like, man, my daddy suck. Man, my mama suck. You know, yeah. Or we got trauma stories and we think, well, these are going to be things that I struggle with. You know, maybe it runs in the family and ran in my family. No, something wrong with you. Okay. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Can I be serious, please? I'm trying to be serious. I've been doing good the whole episode. I ain't saying nothing crazy. I ain't done nothing bad. All right. But yeah, you know, I'm breaking generation and curse it. No, you the curse, sis. You the curse. Mm-hmm. My mama had nappy, so mine is stop permanent.
Listen, like, you know, like, you talk about you was good the whole episode. You was waiting until the end.
Right. Yeah, I always gotta wait to the end to throw the shade. No, I'm for real. Like, we cannot make an excuse for why we can't be better than what we had. Man, look at us now, all three of us. Like, we're living lives in which we're not even where we want to be 100%, but we got more than we thought we could and where we are right now. You know, it's not just because God's been good. It's because we've been intentional. Yeah. And so that's what makes a better parent than possibly the one we did or didn't have. As parents, you know, our parents are our first heroes. We all know that. That's no secret, right? Like, that's what we look up to first, man. I watched my mama go to that hotel, Spring Hill Suites, for 11 years and pop them sheets, man. You know, and I worked two jobs to make sure my sisters and I had Christmas. And though I went into foster care at the age of 15, my mama did the best she could. And where she couldn't step in, my godmother was there. My foster mother was there. I have other motherly figures in my life. Like, God's been so good to me, man. Yeah. And all of us could agree that where we were absent in one place, God gave us more in another place as people. So that's my contribution to this conversation. You know, think about it, Kenan. Go ahead, Nalisha. Say what you're about to say, because I was about to ask Kenan the question, but go ahead.
Before you ask your question, just cut me off.
Hell, cut me off. Hell. Go ahead. I'm kidding.
Before you ask your question, I would just want to give you some advice, Kenan. As you are having a daughter, I would say the first thing is to make sure that you listen to her. And I say listen to her because it's a lot of things, you know, as a parent, you know, you want your child to be a certain way. You want your child to do certain things, but your child is going to be their own individual. That's one. Two, I will say spend time with her and don't make it all about, you know, you. As she gets older, look at the things that she's interested in. Look at the things that she likes, because if you make it all about you, you're like, oh, me and my daughter gonna play basketball. Me and my daughter gonna do this. That time is fine. But if she doesn't like basketball, she's like, all right, daddy, this cool, but I don't really like this. I want to be in my room on my phone, or, you know, things like that. And one thing that I took from my mom, again, I'm not a parent, but one thing that I took from my mom and I will take with my mom, take from my mom when I have kids, is if we spend too much time in a room, she'll come in here like, what's going on? Just having conversation, like, you know, make sure you just have conversations. And it doesn't have to be, you know how kids are like, oh, this is awkward, you know, nothing like that. But right. Just have those conversations and make sure that you're a listening ear that she can come to and talk to about anything.
Oh, thank you. Those are gems. Those are gems, y'all. Did y'all hear that? Those are gems. No, thank you.
Yeah, she just gave us everything. She our mama at this point. She tell me what to do.
Right.
Yeah, our mama at this point. No, that's not as good. Like, I mean, but it's, I think that's what friendships are about, right? Like, again, Kenan, you just spoke of the fact that you haven't raised a girl before, and Alicia's a grown woman, you know, and she talked about opportunities that her father had, you know, and so this is parallel to that, man, that we can't afford to make excuses. We only have to start making adjustments to the kind of people we want to raise and the kind of people we want to be in the world. So with that being said, thank you guys so much for listening to the Glass House Podcast. Oh, y'all was short. They was good. No, but then y'all going to tell me we was long-winded. See, y'all be gossiping, and I don't like that, you know? So you're not going to get to – let me stop playing. Thank y'all so much for listening to the Glass House Podcast. Seriously, keep it locked. I know y'all been saying y'all coming back. Hey, be quiet. We're here now. Don't be talking like that. You say you were going to come back. We even brought Alicia. Like, yeah, she got green hair today. It might be pink tomorrow. You don't know. She be switching.
Y'all gotta stay tuned for the next color.
All right.
I didn't know her colors were like a reveal situation on Instagram. What color am I getting today? You're like me. Like, she just be switching it up. Anyways, we gotta keep it for real. So thank you guys so much. If you enjoyed this episode, we only ask that you do one thing, and that's to simply share it with somebody else. All right. We appreciate you for listening to this episode of the Glass House Podcast. Until next time, we need to come up with some like little quote or something like that we say. I don't know. We can't even come up with a new cover, so we can't figure that out either. All right. So until next time, player, let's keep it G. Let's keep it real. Let's keep our conversations professional. Peace. Bye. Thank you for listening to the Glass House Podcast.